The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. On this great feast of Pentecost, most of the information we have about the great celebration of Pentecost comes from the Acts of the Apostles, which, as you know, originally was part of the Gospel of Luke. We made an artificial break between Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles. In their origin, they were all one book. So when Luke finishes his gospel in chapter 24, we'll get into the Acts of the Apostles, and there we learn about the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Pentecost comes from a Greek word meaning 50th, 50 days after the Passover. There were many, many people in Jerusalem at the time of Pentecost, people from all sorts of areas, Elamites, Medes, Parthians, people from Africa, from Asia, even from Rome. They were all gathered there because it was also the great feast of Shavuot, which is a Jewish celebration, one of the three great celebrations of the Jews. It's a pilgrim celebration for the Jews. At that time, all Jewish people were required to go up to Jerusalem to the temple. In its origin, it was the end of the barley season and the beginning of the wheat season. Therefore, they went up to offer the first fruits of the harvest. It was a harvest festival in its origins, but then it was anointed and made more important when it was set aside to celebrate Moses getting the Torah. And that's very important to the Jewish tradition, the giving of the Torah to Moses. And therefore, it became a great celebration for the Jewish people. That's how it is that so many people from so many areas were all gathered in Jerusalem for what we call Pentecost and the Jews called Shavuot. Shavuot meaning a celebration of weeks, 7 weeks after the Passover. 7 times 7 gives us about 49. So these two feast days came together at one time. What's extraordinary about this celebration of Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit comes upon a small community, and they are transformed from a community of fear to a community of faith. In the power of the Spirit, they are sent out to proclaim the gospel. Even more extraordinary is that each of the persons hears the gospel in their own language, his or her language. And there are Elamites, Medes, people from Mesopotamia, from Africa, people from Egypt, people from Rome, all speaking different languages, and yet they hear the proclamation of God's word in their own language. That's one of the extraordinary celebrations of this feast of Pentecost. So let me look at what this means to us, that the gospel is proclaimed in a language that each person understands in his or her text of life. The Archdiocese of Los Angeles is the largest diocese in the United States. There are 5 million Catholics in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles from 70 different countries. Our statistics show, and on this day, every Sunday, Masses are celebrated in the Archdiocese in about 35 different languages, so that each person will hear the proclamation of the Word, the inspired Word, will hear it in his or her own language. But language is far greater than just what is spoken. How do we proclaim the Word of God so that young people who are searching can understand it in their language? How do we proclaim the Word of God to the elderly, the people who are lonely or feel forgotten? How do we proclaim the Word of God in their language? How do we proclaim the Word of God to people who felt left out of the church, people we exclude because of our laws, people in second or third marriages, or people married out of the church who are yearning to hear the Word of God? How is it that we could proclaim the Word and they will hear the Word of God in their language? How is it that we can make a proclamation of the Word so that persons LGBTQ, transgender persons, could actually hear the Word of God in their language, not demand that they must hear it in our language? How do we feel, sense, and belong to the proclamation of the Word, where each person will hear the goodness of gift of God's Word in their language, not demand that they must hear it in our language? And Pentecost isn't just a day. Pentecost is a way of life. The proclamation of the Word is given to whoever is open and receives the Holy Spirit. So in some ways, we are all proclaiming the Word of God in the manner in which we live and treat other people, the manner in which we speak. So what is it in the power of the Holy Spirit that we have to proclaim? Love, kindness, hospitality, understanding, forgiveness. What is it? The hospitality of an infinite love. That's the proclamation of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, when he was journeying toward his passion, death, and resurrection, when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll find this, especially in John's Gospel, in the long Last Supper discourse, when the Spirit comes, all will be revealed to you. Now you will understand in a deeper and more profound way the meaning of everything I have spoken to you and all that I have taught you. So what is it that the Holy Spirit enlightens us about the proclamation of God's presence in Jesus Christ? Look at the Gospel of John. Remember Nicodemus. He was confused. He was searching. He came to Jesus by night, whether this was after dark or he himself was in darkness. But he was searching. He was searching. So how is it that we could proclaim the Word in the language of Nicodemus? Read on in John's Gospel. Remember the Samaritan woman, much married, and Jesus gives her hospitality and understanding so that she goes through a conversion. Read chapter 8 in John's Gospel. The woman taken in adultery, where the men that surround her condemn her, And Jesus does not, he says finally, when they leave, has no one condemned you? No one, she says, then I do not condemn you. That's a proclamation that Jesus says will be fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. Look at the Gospel of Luke. 10th chapter of Luke, you have the Good Samaritan. How do we treat people as a Good Samaritan? Or the prodigal son in chapter 15 there in Luke's Gospel. I want you to read your Gospels, where the son, the delinquent son, the abusive son, the ungrateful son, comes back as an embraced by the infinite love of God revealed in his father. And his elder brother, angry and jealous and judgmental, legalistic. Read on in Luke's Gospel there, and you'll find in chapter 23, you've got Jesus and the man on the cross saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, this day you will be with me in paradise. Luke's Gospel, or look at Matthew's Gospel, the Jewish Gospel of Matthew, the fierce resistance that Jesus has to the legalistic Pharisees. That's not my gospel, said Jesus. It's not legalistic, it's not judgmental, it's not exclusionary. How many times must I forgive? Not seven times, but 70 times seven times. The Sermon on the Mount. If somebody takes your cloak, give him your shirt as well. Give him the shirt off your back. Be consummately generous. If somebody presses you into 1 mile, go the extra mile. Now the Holy Spirit comes and said, I will empower you to preach all that you have heard from Jesus. What does this mean to us in our lives? Well, not too long ago, this young couple came to see me. Well, I call them young because from my age, they're young. You're all young to me. She was 38 years old. Her name is Amy. He was about 45. Both had been married when they were very young. They had no children. She is a devout Catholic. She's not just a Catholic in name. She is very, very active in her church. He has no religion. It's very important for her to get married in the church. So there's a canonical impediment here, but there is no way I will say no. I never say no. There's always a way. So what would we proclaim in a language that they understand? I saw her hope. I saw her dreams. I saw the pot they wanted to have children. I saw their future. And I said, how do I proclaim a gospel to them that they will understand in their language of hopes and dreams and yearning to belong to a community of faith? Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Wounded Healer, tells this story. That's one of his very early books. I suspect it's out of print now, but I have read Henry Nouwen for the last 40 years, maybe longer. And in this book, he speaks a story which is variously told, but the setting is during the Spanish Civil War, 1936 to 1939, and you had the Nationalists, led by General Franco, and then the Republicans, who were the elected government that was overthrown. And this fugitive from the army came to this village, looking for hospitality, fleeing for his life. And the village took him in, and welcomed him and showed him a safe haven. Not long after, the army came, and the village people would not hand him over. And the person leading the army said, "If you do not hand me over by midnight, we will come and it will destroy your whole village. We'll kill everybody here." So the priest, they went to the priest, and the priest says, "My gosh." So he got his Bible, he went to his room, went into his chapel, and he read the Bible. And he came to this part in the Bible where it said, "Do you not know that it is necessary for one man to die in order to save all the people from perishing?" Following that, he handed this young man over. And that night, the story is, he's by himself, and an angel appears to him and says, "What have you done?" The priest said, "What have I done? You handed over this man." And the priest said, "Well, I read the Bible." And the angel said, "He was the Messiah. You handed over the Messiah." But the priest said, "How could I know that he was the Messiah?" And the angel said to him, "Instead of reading your Bible, if you looked into his eyes, you would have known he was the Messiah. For everyone is Jesus Christ. When God became human in Jesus Christ, everybody else became the person of Christ." It's easy to miss that. Somebody said to me one time, "How do you know that everybody who comes to the giving bank here, looking for food and looking for help, how do you know they're all poor?" I said, "I don't know. But if I look in their eyes, I will see Christ." "How do you know that all these undocumented people, that some people will call their terrorists and their people who are out of prison and their drug dealers, how do we know?" If you look in their eyes, perhaps we will see what others do not see. So when we come to Pentecost, each and every one of us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are sent to proclaim a gospel that those among us will hear in their language, and therefore they will understand the teaching of Jesus Christ, the compassion, the welcoming, the understanding, the patience, the belonging, that we will understand and see the person of Jesus Christ in all whom we meet. The Messiah. Amen.